Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. It's the 400th episode of Railbird Central. And to celebrate that, we have a former member of the Green Bay Packers. We have a two-time Super Bowl champion and Lombardi-era Packer, Jerry Kramer, joining us. Mr. Kramer, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Well, Brian, I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I'm curious, Mr. Kramer, the Packers begin off-season workouts today, what they call organized team activities. And I'm wondering what players in your era were doing in the month of May. Were you practicing in May back then?
One year.
1 year only.
The leg, separated the bone and the ankle. Missed half the season in 61. So in the off season in 62, there was some question about the strength of the ankle and if I would be able to play again. So I was looking for some kind of exercise. You know, I just hate to run just for running's sake. So I'll chase a ball or a shoe or a rabbit if the occasion warrants it. So I had a buddy playing Canadian football, and we went out in the prairie here in Idaho and chased rabbits for a couple of months, and it seemed to work. The ankle got better and stronger, and everything was fine.
So that's your version of off-season conditioning, hunting rabbits.
Running them down, Brian. We were going to try to run them down and catch them. Just something to do, something to focus your mind on, your energy on. But by and large, we really didn't do much. Coach, and you could try to stay in shape and try to get in shape for Coach Lombardi's drills, but you couldn't actually do it. So you made yourself suffer for 5 or 6 months or 3 or 4 months, whatever it happened to be, or you went ahead and died for 10 days when you got to training camp. So generally we just decided to wait till training camp came along and pay the price then and not pay it for several months.
Well, what is your reaction to some of the recent portrayals of Vince Lombardi in the media? Have you seen the Broadway play that was put on a few years ago?
Yeah, I did, Brian. And I don't think anyone has really captured him. He's a very complex man. A lot of the Hollywood folks and the media folks see him on the sidelines going, "What the hell's going on out there?" And they go, "Oh, I know this guy. I know him. Oh, I know exactly who he is." He's also a very soft, very gentle, very concerned, almost fatherly, priestly human being. So there were many sides to Coach Lombardi, and you never knew when, where, or how, generally, you know. And he loved a good story. He loved to laugh. He had a deep belly laugh that was just a wonderful laugh to see it happen. So a lot of different pieces to him and a lot of different aspects to his personality. And I don't think we've quite captured him yet, and maybe we never will.
Well, I'd like to bring you to the present day, and as a former offensive lineman, I'd like to get your thoughts on the current Packers team and their offensive line. They seem to have a pretty good group of players coming back this season, but the center position is a little unsettled. What's your opinion on the offensive line Mike McCarthy has assembled?
You know, I am very positive about the offensive line, and specifically the running game.
Mm-hmm.
I think our loss of Aaron Rodgers last year and our dependence on that running game was, in the long run, a very good thing. I think it's something we never would have worked on that hard. We never would have concentrated on like that, but we got 6-7 weeks of intense running game practice. And we have got some running backs, and I think we've got a better running game right now than we've had since Amon Green was there. And I think that's necessary. I think it's a part of a great football team. You can't be as one-sided as we were and get by with it very long, although we did a wonderful job, and certainly Aaron has done a wonderful job. There's no criticism there. It's just that now we're a more balanced football team, and I think we're a much stronger football team, and I'm excited about this coming season.
Very cool. Our guest today is former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman Jerry Kramer here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Mr. Kramer, your candidacy for the Pro Football Hall of Fame is saying, you know, that's been discussed plenty in the media in the past. But I guess what I'm curious to know is, have you made peace with whatever happens, whether it happens or it doesn't?
Long time ago, Brian.
Okay.
Long time ago. I was frustrated and angry, and I was nominated 10 times or something like that. And after a while, it gets to you a little bit. And I got angry, and I got my lip out, and I said if they ever did call, I was going to tell them where to put it, and all kinds of vindictive thoughts in my own little mind. And then I was selected, you know, as a top 100 Packers of all time, and then the top 10, and then this, and honors keep coming in. You know, really, they recently had the top interior lineman of all time, and after nearly 50 years away from the game, I was selected as the top interior lineman of all time. So the game has given me a lot of applause and a lot of honors. And I just can't be upset over one thing they didn't give me when it's given me so much. So I am I'm quite happy with my career and my time, and the recognition I've received has been stunning from where I sit. So I just feel I'm very fortunate. Plus, I got to play with Fuzz and Paul and Bart and Forrest and Willie and Leroy and Mitch. And what a wonderful cast of characters. And, of course, Coach Lombardi. How could anybody bitch about their time on the football field or on a football team with that cast of characters around you? It was just a sensational experience, and I thought it was a wonderful opportunity. And I am pretty good with where I sit now in terms of life and the Hall of Fame and the whole process. If it happens, it would be wonderful. It would be the crowning achievement and the cherry on top. But if it doesn't happen, it's been a wonderful ride.
Regardless of what happens, Mr. Kramer, you're a member of the Packers Hall of Fame, and I'd like to get your thoughts on a player that may soon join your fraternity there. What is your opinion on if and when the Packers should induct Brett Favre into the Packers Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, if we elect people into the Hall of Fame based on their performance on the football field, Brett will come in on the first vote. If we use a lot of emotional, non-football logic, like the traitor went to Minnesota and we'll never love him again, and use a lot of emotional reasoning, then he may never get in. But if you judge him on his contribution to the Green Bay Packers and on his career, then he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think he should be.
I just have one final question for you, Mr. Kramer. I don't know what's going to happen with the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but can we consider today your induction into the Cheesehead TV Hall of Fame?
Thank you very much, Brian. It's a great honor, and I join an illustrious group, I'm sure, and what a thrill I've got to go tell my family about it.
You would be the inaugural member, Mr. Kramer. So maybe.
Oh, I'm number one?
Yes, you're number one.
Oh, Bart's not going to like that.
Maybe next year for Bart, but we thank you very kindly for joining us. It's our 400th episode, so it's a special occasion, and we're happy to have you join us.
Thank you, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care. Jerry Kramer, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Wow, what a great guy to have joining us, being very, very open about his Hall of Fame candidacy. And sharing some other thoughts on the current Packers team, on Brett Favre, all sorts of things here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to Jerry Kramer, and thanks to you, all the listeners, for joining us as well. As I said, our 400th episode. It's been a long time I've been doing this show, 400 times, so 400 podcasted episode. There were episodes back in the day that weren't podcasted, but not that many though. Anyway, let's talk about what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, as we do every episode here. Here on May 28th. It's a Wednesday, and today just so happens to be the first day of organized team activities, otherwise known as OTAs, in Green Bay. This is the very first opportunity for the team to practice together as an entire unit this year, this season. Prior to today, they've been taking part in strength and conditioning. They've been doing individual position workouts. Today is the first time they get together as a team and do, you know, 11-on-11 drills and those kind of things, 7-on-7. So, very fun day. You can imagine the players are excited to do something different and kind of begin preparations for the 2014 season. The big news today, coming from Ty Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, apparently the Packers have tight end JerMichael Finley in town for a workout today. Maybe a workout is part of it, but more so a physical examination of his neck, a medical checkup with the Packers medical staff. They're trying to determine if they can clear him or not, if JerMichael Finley is able to play football again, and whether or not they should sign him because JerMichael Finley is a free agent. Now, by no means is, I don't think JerMichael Finley's future with the Green Bay Packers is going to be cut and dried by the end of the day today, but maybe there is a chance there's a little clarity, whether yay or nay, whether the Packers will or will not sign him eventually, if they do sign him. There's so much we don't really know here. Here's what we do know. JerMichael Finley injured his neck last season in October. Very serious injury, near paralyzation. Ends up having subsequent spinal fusion surgery. And since that time, his contract ended with the Green Bay Packers. He's technically a free agent. And no team as of yet, Packers included, but you might as well throw all 32 teams in the NFL, have yet to be comfortable with clearing him and or signing him to a contract. He's free to sign with any team he wants. And, you know, back at the beginning of free agency, there was that report. He went out to Seattle. They didn't clear him. They didn't sign him. But, you know, I think the Packers and all teams are taking a wait-and-see approach with JerMichael Finley. They want just to put more time between his surgery and his recovery and see how he recovers and see how he heals before making any sort of determination. Well, you know, it's been 2 months since the start of free agency, and maybe the Packers now are ready to at least make a decision. But I mean, there's so much that's up in the air. You don't really know, even if it lets, you know, just hypothetically, even if they were to clear him. Now the Packers still got to settle on a contract, too. And you know, how much do you pay JerMichael Finley, a guy who prior to injury was making in excess of $8 million per season? You have to think that there aren't going to be many, if any, teams in the NFL willing to commit, you know, that dollar amount to him. I've kind of thought, you know, JerMichael Finley is going to have at least one prove-it season. You know, maybe a team signs him to a short-term deal that is not very much. Maybe it's an incentive-laden contract. I don't really know. But, I've just guessed, you know, what is JerMichael Finley going to get? A contract paying him $2 million a season, at least to begin with? Now, if he were to go out and have a great year and, you know, show he's healthy and he can play again and the neck isn't really an issue, well, then maybe, you know, a year down the road, he can sign a deal worth in the realm of the $8 million he was making per year. But there's so much, you know, that's so many ifs and so much to consider first before going down that road. We really have no clue. The Packers going to medical staff, going to check him out. And I don't know. I mean, it could be a situation where they're just like with Nick Collins, maybe not comfortable at all clearing him. And JerMichael Finley more or less maybe forced into retirement. These are the options. I'm not saying one is more likely than the other, given that I'm not a medical expert, but these are options that certainly could happen, have happened in the past in the case of a guy like Nick Collins, who's been forced into retirement due to a neck injury, apparently at the same area of the spinal column, the C3 and C4 vertebrae. That's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. JerMichael Finley getting a checkup, a medical exam. We'll relay the findings as we find out about them. Whatever the case may be, like I said, the entire story may not be cut and dried today, so don't expect that to happen. But what we find out, we will let you know here at Cheesehead TV. But at least the Packers are practicing regardless. OTAs, as we said, begin today with or without JerMichael Finley. Even if JerMichael Finley were to sign with the Packers, I would have to imagine it'd be a case where he would be brought back rather slowly. It could be a situation where, you know, remember Sean Richardson was cleared from spinal fusion surgery last year, lower on the spinal cord. But, I mean, heck, he was on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list for, you know, the first few months of the season. He didn't even come back until, what, about November, I think, last year. So you could see a situation playing out like that, where even if JerMichael Finley does come back, you know, could be put on the PUP list, doesn't really practice, you know, just simply does rehab, strength and conditioning for a while. But anyway, getting back to the rest of the team here who will be practicing, kind of wondering, you know, who may or may not be taking part. Clay Matthews coming back from his injury, DeJuan Harris, Jonathan Franklin, the running backs, they're coming back from injury. How ready are these guys going to be to take part in OTAs? I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So, yeah, how it works is that the Packers, no practice is open to the public today. Even though they are practicing, it's taking place behind closed doors, presumably in the Don Hutson Center in Green Bay. They have one organized team activity practice per week open to the public. This week's is tomorrow on Thursday. So we're going to get reports then on what's going to happen. you know, the media will be there. They'll be passing along what they see. We'll find out who's taking part, who's not. For right now, today's practice taking part on behind closed doors. So just because you're not hearing about what's happening doesn't mean the Packers aren't practicing. It's just that only one day a week is open to the media, open to the public. In fact, it's free. It's at Reinicke Field, 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. If you're in the area and want to go, go check it out. Two players we know will not be practicing tomorrow. Wide receiver Davante Adams and defensive lineman Kyree Thornton have been invited to the NFLPA's rookie premiere. As we reported here at Cheesehead TV. So what's happening is this is an annual event. And what it is it's the put on by the NFL Players Association, pretty much inviting some of the biggest names among the rookies for basically, it's a little bit of pro football orientation. You know, there's a small part of it where they have meetings about the business side of the game and how to handle your finances and how to handle the media and social media. But it's also a marketing type of event with a lot of NFL partners being there, like especially the trading card companies like Panini and Topps. But I know Nike is going to be there as well. You know, the outfitter for the NFL provides jerseys, shoes, and all that. And so what it is, I think they spend one day basically, you know, kind of an opportunity for the trading card companies to get photography for their trading cards. And, you know, then they include, you know, every once in a while they have giveaways like signed jerseys or, you know, don't they even put some of those card companies put, you know, pieces of the jersey inside the card packs, things like that. All sorts of crazy things they do. But more than anything, an opportunity for photography for their card sets, things like that. And for the most part, what the NFL rookie premiere is, it's a lot of the skill position players like Davante Adams, a wide receiver, but also quarterbacks and running backs. Those kind of guys get the most attention. So they are the ones who are invited, you know, among 40 players invited to the rookie premiere. 30 of them are skill position players drafted in the first three rounds of the draft, let's say. A lot of quarterbacks like Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, those kind of high-profile kind of guys. But you're probably asking yourself, why is Kyree Thornton invited? Here he is, a third-round defensive lineman. There are exceedingly few defensive players in general, regardless of position, invited to the NFLPA's rookie premiere. Heck, even first-rounder Ha-Ha Clinton Dix didn't get invited. So what is Thornton going for? Well, apparently the NFLPA has kind of a partnership with the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. It's one of those all-star games that takes place prior to the NFL draft. Just like the Senior Bowl, just like the East-West Shrine Game. It's kind of a little bit less prestigious, but you know, they don't get so many of the big-name players at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. But because Thornton took part in that, and it's kind of sponsored by the same NFLPA group, they invited some of those players along as well to the rookie premiere. So Kyree Thornton, even though he's not a big name, wasn't a first rounder, he's getting the star treatment this weekend out there. It takes place in Los Angeles. I know they'll be at Memorial Coliseum where USC plays. I think that's kind of where the photo shoot takes place. Thornton and Adams missing OTA practices this week. Because of the NFLPA's rookie premiere. The rookie premiere takes place starting tomorrow. So for all I know, Thornton Adams could be practicing today with the Packers. Maybe later today, tomorrow, they're flying out to Los Angeles. But it's a three-day event.
The 29th, 30th, and 31st, I believe, taking place out in Los Angeles. Just a three-day event. They'll be back next week, practicing with the Packers. So, yeah, your newest members of the rookie class losing a little bit of practice time here, but not too much. They will be back, and, OTAs take place for 3 weeks in Green Bay, add an extra week for mini camp taking place in June. They'll be there for that, so they're not missing, too much practice time for this, and they'll be learning something as well. But anyway, that'll do it for this morning's edition of Railbird Central here on a Wednesday morning, our 400th episode extravaganza. It was really great to have Jerry Kramer join us on the show, Packers legend, two-time Super Bowl champion, Vince Lombardi era player, and we can only hope that someday he eventually gets inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And what a story to hear him talk about it and you know, how he feels about that. So thank you very much to Jerry Kramer for joining us, and thank you to everybody who's made Railbird Central possible throughout the years. Special thanks to Jamie Snowden, to Alex Talich, to Corey Banky and Aaron Nagler here at Cheesehead TV, and all our viewers and listeners that make this possible. My thanks go out to you, a heartfelt thanks. That's been making this episode, this show, so fun to do throughout the years. But that'll do it for today. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll be back on Friday, unless it's a holiday. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Clean.